Imagine going shopping with a £1,000 voucher to buy anything from anywhere. No restrictions. It's up to you how you spend it. So you browse through a shopping centre, attracted to the window displays, and buy all your favourite things. So much so that when you get home, you realise that you can't fit it all in your wardrobe. You also realise some of it doesn't work or give you the pleasure you thought it would, and some of them just aren't the right size, shape or colour. A lot of it seemed like a great idea at the time, but now you're regretting having bought it all. Some of it's beginning to just gather dust, piling up at the back of your wardrobe, until eventually you really want to return everything you bought. Now imagine going for Hajj. You've wandered through life, sometimes with goals, sometimes just aimlessly, but all the while with an abundance of free will to make your own choices. As you've wandered, you've been tempted by life's window displays, adopted other people's opinions, speech, behaviour, attitudes, some of which you realise don't actually please you deep down inside, some of which actually end up hurting you or other people, some of which are now beginning to pile up as huge burdens on your shoulders and as black spots on your heart, something you really want to throw right back at Shaitan and say, no thank you. That is what Rumi is all about. Now, Mina is a valley situated between Muzdalifah and Makkah. In fact, it shares a boundary with Makkah. Many Hajis can come and go without actually having to spend days and nights in Mina to get to the Jamarat, depending on where they stay in Makkah. We, however, stayed in Mina for a few days and enjoyed the sharing of tents with 70 or so other people, all striving for the same goal. This was one of the most beautiful yet trying times, and to this day I still find it almost impossible to get through my day or sleep at night because I don't have the bustling of many people all around me sharing my space. It's also one of the most trying times because you not only have to learn tolerance of those different people in your group, but also tolerance of the different habits and characters of people in different groups, as tents are so close to each other and bathrooms are shared. After collecting our pebbles in Muzdalifah, we stayed there for the night. In the early hours of the morning, the women boarded the coach and left for Mina. In the meantime, the men made their way to the border shared by Muzdalifah and Mina, as they could only enter Mina after sunrise. Alhamdulillah, when the women reached Mina a couple of hours later, we were dropped off not too far from our tent, but still had a chance to see the thousands of rows of tents, housing the millions of other Hajis. It was truly breathtaking. Seeing that helped us visualize just how grand this journey was, and was one of the few moments that left us all feeling completely insignificant among a mass of servants, all humbly replying to Allah's labbaik. Today was the day of Eid, a day of great celebration, but I didn't quite feel like it was Eid yet. There was still far too much to do and think about. After a short walk, we reached the tent and began to settle in. The group had one large white tent which was divided into two, one section for the men and one for the women. Everyone found a space, and although we were exhausted, we soon started to talk excitedly about our new home for the next few days and about what lay ahead. Some shared their previous experiences, some talked only of what they had heard from other people back home, and some just sat in complete silence in awe of finally having reached the place where they would soon face their shaitans. In the meantime, the group leaders and volunteers went to check out the Jamarat and decide whether it would be a good time for us to go and do the first installment of our three Rumi. We were told to be prepared, as the volunteers could call us at any time to line up and start walking towards the Jamarat. Finally, the call came, and we all began lining up in threes, like soldiers ready to face our enemy, bold, brave, and prepared, yet shaking and trembling in fear. We stood in lines wearing goggles to protect us from flying pebbles and sandals. Clutching our precious pebble bags and with our feet firmly in sandals, we were all ready to be let loose in the crowds. I was certainly prepared physically, but began to think, am I spiritually ready? I've got my arms and ammunition, but as Ayatollah Mazahri explains, Mina is no ordinary place. Mina is a place of hopes and aspirations, mercy and forgiveness, nobility and grace. I had to get my mind into gear. I began thinking to myself, I'm a soldier, walking towards my enemies. But who are these enemies? Are they temptations, sins, ideals? Oh Allah, I'm doing all this to gain your favor, mercy and forgiveness. But what use is stamping towards the Jamarat and stoning those three stone devils if I don't stamp towards my own devils? I am my own worst enemy, Ya Allah, and I've succumbed to my own desires, temptations and nafs. Hitting these Jamarat won't be easy at all with the crowds and pebbles and pushing. But in comparison to hitting my own inner shaitans, this physical act will be easy. Ya Allah, please help me in what I'm about to do. Help me hit at my own shaitans and get rid of them forever. Will I be successful? Can I gather up the courage to admit to my own faults, cry to Allah, and return home never to do them again, ever? Now that is the hardest thing. Even the toughest, strongest, and bravest of soldiers can be weakened at that thought. Ya Allah, please give me real strength. As we got closer to the Jamarat, I was surprised. They were no longer tall pillars as we'd seen in pictures, but each one has been extended so they look more like walls, each one about the size of a double-decker bus. The three Jamarat are called Al-Jamarat Al-Ula, Al-Jamarat Al-Wusta, and Jamarat Al-Aqaba. On Eid day, pilgrims only perform a rami of Jamarat al-Aqaba, but perform rami of all three during the next 2 days. So, as we began walking towards Jamarat al-Aqaba and saw the other two, the hadith explaining this act came to my mind. It is said that when Prophet Adam a.s. performed Hajj, accompanied by Angel Jibrail, and left Mina for Makkah, Shaitan appeared before him at the site where Al-Jamara are 3 times. Shaitan tried repeatedly to prevent him from performing the Hajj rituals. However, Prophet Adam a.s., with the help of Jibrail, overcame Shaitan's temptations by throwing 7 pebbles at him in the 3 sites. And so, this act became a part of the Hajj rituals for all who followed. According to other ahadith, this happened to Prophet Ibrahim a.s. when he was commanded by Allah to sacrifice his son. Shaitan appeared before him 3 times and tried to tempt him away from Allah's order. Prophet Ibrahim a.s. conquered Shaitan by throwing 7 pebbles at him. Here we were, standing near the Jamarat al-Aqaba, ready to charge ahead. The pebbles were in our palms, and the ladies' arms were linked in strong chains. The men stood firmly holding hands around us to ensure we were protected from people pushing. Much to the delight of many in our group who had performed Hajj before, there were no flying sandals to avoid. However, the pebbles did strike back and a couple of us were hit, but that didn't stop us. With all our might and fury at our own weaknesses, we threw those pebbles, trying hard to make sure all 7 hit the Jamarat. Holding each pebble, we tried to think of a bad trait, or attitude or act, that stained our hearts, and furiously threw them, as if to throw that sin away. For good. We all desperately wanted to be rid of our nafs al-ammara, our unconscious souls that urge us towards evil. This reminded me of something I had read by Sayyid Muhammad Zia Abadi. Pebbles can be symbols of worldly riches, thrown away for the sake of God. Pilgrims practice these symbols and the spiritual acts to ensure their victory, for God's promise is truthful. After having thrown all 7, we quickly turned around, bent down, and hurried through the crowd to rejoin our group. We were all filled with excitement at having battled Shaitan, and felt as though we'd won this first confrontation at least. Alhamdulillah, everyone completed their rummy successfully throughout the 3 days. And now we pray, sincerely, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our amal. On the 3rd day of rummy, we were greeted with a breathtaking sunrise, and perhaps it was signalling the start of a new day, a clean slate for us all. So I stood there wondering, can I do it? Can I fulfill all these promises I have made to you, O Allah, to change my character? Can I turn all my thoughts, reflections and promises into reality? It says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, in tansurullaha yansurukum, wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. O you who believe, if you help the cause of Allah, He will help you and make firm your feet. Now the test really begins.